Good morning, and welcome to Mincer's second quarter 2018 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as to the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Borja of i-advize Corporate Communications.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mincer's second quarter 2018 earnings call. Today from Mincer, we are very pleased to have the senior management team who will discuss the company's second quarter 2018 consolidated results after the press release distributed yesterday. If you have not yet received a copy, please contact i-advize in New York at 212-406-3693, and we will immediately send you a copy. Please note that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly after the call. Also, please be advised that forward-looking statements may be made during this conference call, and they do not account for economic circumstances, industry conditions, the company's performance, or financial results. As such, these forward-looking statements are based in several assumptions and factors that could change, causing actual results to materially differ from the current expectations. For a complete note on forward-looking statements, please refer to the last page of the earnings release. Joining us from Lima, Peru, we have Mr. Juan Luis Gruber, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Diego Molina, Chief Financial Officer. Thank you for your attention. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Gruber will initiate his presentation. Mr. Gruber, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone, and thank you again for joining us today. Before jumping into the second quarter 2018 results, let me take you through some of our major achievements and highlights for the year. I would like to start with Brazil, where operational and financial performance has improved significantly. Taboca keeps delivering greater results than originally expected for the year, reaching an accumulated EBITDA for the first semester of 2018 of $21 million, which is actually $12 million higher than the EBITDA reached for the full year 2017. It's a very significant operational and financial improvement. This achievement derives from improved prices, operational stability, and a significant increase in ferroalloys production, driven by a solid and committed management team. We expect to continue delivering positive results in the second half of the year in our Brazilian operations. In terms of safety, we had an unfortunate quarter with three lost time injuries. We call them LTIs. One of them was in Pucamarca, which was its first LTI since the beginning of operations in 2013. The two other LTIs happened in Taboca. We have reinforced our safety culture in all our operating units, and safety remains our top priority in all of our operations. At San Rafael, our initiatives continue developing our tin business and are showing very promising and good results. During the quarter, we continued to increase our resources. We identified 374,000 tons of new resources that contain 6,700 tons of tin, in line with our plan of at least replenishing the 2018 consumption of resources. As you may recall, during the last call, we announced some preliminary results at our exploration project, Nazareth, which keeps showing promising results today. Today, I would like to mention as well some new findings in San Germán, which is an ore body located very close to San Rafael's current operations that will extend the life of the mine even further. As of today, we have identified remarkable tin concentration in the drillings with an initial estimation of 20,000 tons of tin contained in this resource. Our target is to complete the modeling of these inferred resources by the end of the year. Now moving on to our B2 project. The project continues under construction and on schedule to begin production by late 2019. All these initiatives are a testimony of Mincer's commitment to keep investing and growing the tin business and will certainly create significant value for our shareholders and investors in the future. In terms of context, metal prices continue to experience a very high volatility during the quarter. Tin prices shift from a minimum of $19,675 per ton to a maximum of $22,050 per ton. Gold prices also fluctuated due to the international context and the variations on the dollar, ranging from a low of around $1,248 per ounce to a high of $1,353 per ounce. The company continued to focus on its strategy to control and reduce costs and increase efficiencies to remain resilient to these conditions and to mitigate potential price impacts as much as possible. This is particularly important in the current context, where we have seen further price drops during the month of July and in the month of August. In the case of tin closed yesterday at $18,750 a ton, and this is really showing that there is going to continue to be a lot of volatility going forward, especially as the China-U.S. commercial war is not clearly defined. Let me now move on to the second quarter results, where Minsur delivered a very strong operating performance, particularly with a significant improvement of Taboka, as I have mentioned before. Tin production for the quarter reached 6,835 tons, above the company's original expectations at the beginning of the year. Gold production during the quarter reached 25,484 ounces, in line with our mine plan, and 9% higher than the same quarter last year. Niobium and tantalum alloys production reached 979 tons, a remarkable 49% increase compared to the same quarter last year, and also in line with our current production plan. Moving on to individual operating results, I will begin with San Rafael, where production for the quarter reached 4,818 tons of tin contained in concentrates. That's 1% higher than the second quarter of 2017. This increase was mainly due to the higher ore grade fed into the San Rafael concentration plant and improvement in recoveries. It is important to note as well that the ore sorting plant is back into full production as of this second quarter, delivering results above what we expected in our plans for the year. In terms of refined tin production at our Pisco smelter, we produced during the quarter 5,170 tons of tin, which is a 9% increase compared to the same quarter last year, mainly due to the concentrate stock consumption at the end of the period. Production both at the mine and at the smelter put us in a very comfortable position to reach the upper end of our annual guidance of 16,500 to 17,500 tons of refined tin for the full year. Cash costs at San Rafael reached $62 per ton treated during the quarter, in line with the same quarter last year. Cash cost per refined ton of tin, however, during the quarter closed at $8,623, which is an increase of 3% compared to the second quarter of 2017, mainly due to the higher production costs in Pisco, driven by the lower concentrate grade treated, which is a consequence of a business decision that we have made in order to maximize recoveries at the mine and maximize overall metal production. So there's a trade-off between lower concentrate grades and higher recoveries at the mine site, which is paying off big time for us. Moving on to Taboka now, the Pirapora smelter reached a production of 1,666 tons of refined tin during the quarter, which is 14% below the same quarter of last year. This is explained by the lower concentrate treated in the smelter during the quarter due to a transportation strike, a national transportation strike that took place in April in Brazil, which restricted our capacity to ship concentrates from the Pitinga mine to the Pirapora smelter. Despite this temporary impact, our production guidance remains in the 6,000 to 7,000 tons of tin range for the full year, especially driven by mine production in Pitinga, which is in line with the plan for 2018. Production of niobium and tantalum alloys at Taboka increased significantly in the second quarter of 2018. As I mentioned before, we reached 979 tons during the quarter, which is 49% higher than the second quarter of 2017. This strong increase resulted from higher grade of niobium and tantalum and an improvement in the recovery at the flotation and smelting plants, as a result as well of the stabilization of the new metallurgical plant at Pitinga. Annual production remains in line with our mining plan and within the top range of our guidance of 3,000 to 3,500 tons for the year. In terms of cost, cash cost for the quarter closed at $19.1 per ton treated, which is an increase of 1% compared to the same quarter last year. Even though the volume treated was 8% lower and the production cost in Brazilian reales was 4% higher, mainly due to the higher energy costs experienced at the beginning of the quarter. As you may recall, there was lower rainfall that forced us to have more diesel generation up to the first half of the quarter, mainly. So despite these cost increases in reales, the depreciation of the Brazilian real versus the dollar partially offset these negative impacts and allowed us to close fairly in line with the same quarter last year. We are currently working on savings opportunities at the mine and the smelter and expect to achieve our annual guidance of $19 to $21 per ton treated in cost at Pitinga. It is very important, however, to note that on a byproduct credit basis, Taboka's cash cost for this quarter closed at $7,217 per equivalent ton of tin. That includes the niobium and tantalum byproducts credits. This is 46% lower than the results, the cost figure reported in the same quarter last year, mainly reflecting again the impact of the significant increase in niobium and tantalum ferroalloy production, which is driving the improvement in profitability at Taboka. In this sense, the company generated an EBITDA of $16.5 million during the quarter, obviously also influenced as well by higher prices. We expect that the financial performance of Taboka in the following months will keep improving as we continue optimizing the niobium and tantalum production process, and we remain well on track to deliver and most likely exceed our annual guidance at Taboka for the first time. Moving now on to Pucamarca, during the second quarter of 2018, production reached 24,484 ounces of gold, 9% above the same quarter last year. This increase is explained by the higher volume of ore treated and the higher gold head grades. Nonetheless, production achieved in the second quarter is in line with our mining plan and with our annual guidance of 90,000 to 100,000 ounces of gold for the full year. So we remain well on track as well. In terms of costs, cash costs closed at $4.3 per ton treated in the quarter compared to $4.4 per ton treated in the same period of 2017. This effect was mainly due to the higher volume of ore treated, partially offset by the higher production cost during the quarter. Our annual guidance remains at $4.5 to $5 per ton treated for the full year. It is worth mentioning as well that our cash cost per ounce closed at $349 per ounce, and the all-in cash cost closed at $581 per ounce in the second quarter of 2018, consolidating Pucamarca as one of the lowest cost gold mines in the world. Having discussed the second quarter operational results and highlights, I want to briefly touch on our most important growth projects, Mina Justa. As most of you may know, this week, we announced that the Minsur board had approved to participate in the $900 million project finance to fund the construction of Mina Justa. This project finance is guaranteed 60% by Minsur and 40% by our partner, investments through Empresas Copec. Until the project finance completion test is passed, which is expected to happen by late 2021, the corporate guarantees will be in place. After that period, the debt will be non-recourse to Minsur and Copec. Most of the funding will come from export credit agencies and will be repaid before 2027. Together with the 40% equity contribution of our partner, Alxar Investments, this project financing structure was critical to complete the financing strategy for the project. We are very pleased to let you know that the plan has gone as expected, and that last night, the project finance has been finally signed with the lenders. Within a record execution timeframe for the financing of these characteristics and at a very competitive term. Meanwhile, this project financing milestone was one of the most important milestones for the project during 2018. And again, we're very glad to announce that it has been completed as of last night. From an execution perspective, the project remains on track with the schedule. Early works on site, detail engineering, and procurement have been progressing as expected during the quarter. We expect to complete the detailed engineering by the end of this quarter, and we have placed material purchase orders for equipment and also expect to complete early works in Q4 2018. Should everything work as planned, production at Mina Justa should start in late 2020, and we're happy to announce as well that we are well on track with respect to our schedule. We expect to have the final board approval for the full construction and mining decision at Mina Justa during this coming month of September. With that, I conclude my presentation, and now let me turn the call over to Diego Molina, our CFO, for his discussion of the financial results for the quarter.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. As Juan Luis mentioned, the financial markets and international environment volatility have been reflected in fluctuations in commodity prices and exchange rates. The Brazilian real continues to experience high fluctuations due to the political environment in Brazil and the outcome of the presidential election that will take place this October. This volatility has impacted Talocan's financial performance as well as to our overall P&L. Please note that during this quarter, Minsur has adopted IFRS 9, 15, and 16, and the impacts are being reflected both on this period and the previous year results. In this context, net revenues for the second quarter reached $181.3 million, an increase of 6% compared to the second quarter of the previous year. This increase was mainly explained by 7% higher volume of gold and a 110% increase of ferroalloys volume sold. Gross profit during this quarter was $80 million, a 13% increase compared to the same period of the previous year. Gross margin went from 41% in the second quarter of 2017 to 44% in this quarter of 2018. This increase is mainly attributable to the strong results experienced at our operations in Peru and Brazil, given the improved commodity prices scenario, as well as Talocan's enhanced operating and financial performance. During the second quarter, exploration and project expenses totaled $9.4 million, an increase of $0.8 million compared to the same period last year, due to our active exploration efforts at San Rafael and Pucamarca surrounding areas. As a result, EBITDA reached $72 million during the quarter, an increase of 8% compared to the second quarter 2017, mainly explained by Taboca. The EBITDA margin for the second quarter 2018 reached 40%, slightly higher than the 39% obtained in the second quarter 2017. In terms of net income, MinSur registered a $10 million loss, a decrease of $20 million compared to second quarter 2017. This is explained by a $22.5 million of higher income taxes related to better results in local currency from the business and the taxable benefit derived from the settlement of financial instruments. Net income has also been impacted by a higher exchange rate variation of about $13 million versus last year's second quarter, which were partially offset by $4 million higher revenues and higher results from subsidiaries and associates of about $9 million. In terms of capital expenditure, the company invested $71 million during the quarter. CapEx was mainly allocated towards increasing capacity of the B3 tailings dam and the execution phase of the B2 project at San Rafael. In Pucamarca, key sustaining capital investments are still being implemented, mainly related to the expansion of the leaching pad. Finally, CapEx at Taboca during the quarter derived mostly from the increasing capacity of the long-term tailings dam. In terms of liquidity, MinSur concluded the second quarter with $645 million of cash and $589 million of debt, composed of MinSur senior bonds and Taboca's debt, resulting in a negative 0.2 net debt to EBITDA ratio. In summary, we believe that this was a quarter of a strong operating with important progress of our growth project, and we're pleased to witness visible results in our efforts to turn around Taboca. Our cash preservation strategies implemented in the past are yielding the anticipated results. MinSur continues to be committed to further enhancing operational and financial performance to maintain a strong operating margin and to position the company for our project development. Thank you so much for your attention, and with that, I conclude my presentations, and we are ready for your questions. Operator, please proceed with the Q&A session.
And at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press the star and one on your touchtone phone. You may remove yourself from the queue at any time by pressing the pound key. Once again, that's star and one to ask a question. We'll pause for a moment to allow questions to queue. And the first question comes from Juan Pablo Brasset with Credicorp Capital. Your line is open.
Morning. First of all, congratulations on signing the project finance deal. I was wondering if the company could share more details about this deal. Perhaps what the interest rate will be, and when are the outflows expected to be?
Thank you, Juan Pablo, for your congratulations on signing the deal. It is indeed a very important milestone for the project, as I mentioned. Unfortunately, the terms of this project financing are not public at this point in time, at least. So I would prefer not to comment further on that.
Okay, just a follow-up question on Marcobre. The entirety 60% of the debt will be guaranteed by MinSur, but correct me if I'm wrong, will the entirety of the debt of Marcobre's debt, will the entirety of that debt will be reflected on MinSur's balance sheet, or only 60% of it, since MinSur holds a controlling stake for the company?
Well, as you just mentioned, MinSur consolidates 100% of Marcobre in its financial statements, Therefore, 100% of the assets and liabilities of Marcobre are reflected on our financial statements, and the 40% stake of our partners are reflected as well as part of the equity as minority stakes.
Okay, and one last question regarding Mina Justa. I'm aware that the board has approved the studies on Mina Justa. Should we expect the company to share these studies with the market anytime soon?
We are still finalizing the definitive estimate of the project. And as I mentioned, we will hold a board meeting during the month of September, where the full funding decision, in other words, what we call the decision to mine, will be approved formally by the board.
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
And as a reminder, it is star and one to ask a question. And there are no further questions at this time. I'd like to turn the program back to Mr. Kruger for any closing remarks.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much for joining us today and for your continued interest and trust in the company. We always look forward to hearing from you, so please don't hesitate to contact me, Diego Molina, or Vladimiro Berrocal if you have any additional questions or information requirements. Again, thank you and have a great day.